today we're going to briefly think about mountains before we get into our Christmas carol. What is it about the mountains in the world? Mountains are big. Mountains give us a sense of connection with something bigger than ourselves. How many of you have gone on a retreat to a mountain to step out of the traffic? Think of scaling the mountains and the vastness of the view from the top. 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary and his Sherpa made it to the top of Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. Well, considering the mountains and their significance, we might think of the tallest mountains and how mountain climbers plan hikes and climbing routes to scale the highest mountains. They meet at base camp and then they take this route. I remember, this is not in the script, but I remember a movie at movie night at Karen Scully's house called The North Face. I had just, this is way off topic, but I had just been to a funeral and we got to this movie night and all the mountain climbers died. And I was so depressed. And it was like, oh, Karen. Okay, well. And then there's Greek mythology and all the gods of the Greeks on Mount Olympus in the Aegean Sea, right? And then there's novels like the Lord of the Rings series where we have the Misty Mountains or the volcanic Mount Doom. And the vivid descriptions of J.R.R. Tolkien's Mountains of Middle-earth. When we think about mountains in the Bible, the mountains are places of connection with God. For example, think about Mount Horeb, where Moses met God in the burning bush. Mount Sinai, where Moses met God for the giving of the law. Mount Carmel, where Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. And in several scriptures, we have accounts of Jesus going up to the mountains to pray. Even in the temptation of Jesus, the devil took Jesus up on a mountain to show Jesus the kingdoms of the world. We have in Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, "For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So here we see that God can do what we think is impossible. God can move mountains. Then there's the Mount of Olives, where Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and from whence he ascended into heaven. Well, in our sermon series this summer and fall, a long time ago, before we started this Christmas carols, we examined the Psalms of Ascent, the Pilgrim Psalms, pilgrimage psalms, which pilgrims sang and recited as they went up to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Well, what about the mountains we know here? In Georgia, we have the beginning of the Appalachian Trail that goes all the way up to Maine. Some of us have been out west and maybe to Colorado where we've seen the Rocky Mountains. And the Rocky Mountains go way up into British Columbia and down as far as New Mexico. And then during the past few weeks, Alan and I have been surrounded by stunning, majestic mountain vistas, especially in the Patagonian region of the Andes in South America. That's where we were last Sunday. Snow-capped mountains are so high, they beckon climbers to scale them. The mountains are higher than I can even imagine. And while I'm in awe of the mountains, I'm more in awe of the God who created the mountains. Our God is higher than any mountain we see or imagine. Think about songs that have mountains in them. From the Sound of Music, climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream. From Motown, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, ain't no mountain high enough to keep me from you. From John Denver, Rocky Mountain High, and the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Talk to God and listen to the casual reply. Well, today, our Christmas carol has the word mountain in it. Go tell it on the mountain. Well, if you do a Google search, does Bethlehem have mountains? This is the answer. Quote, Bethlehem is located in the Judean Mountains, which are part of a larger mountain range that includes Jerusalem, Hebron, and Ramallah. Bethlehem sits on two hilly plateaus at an elevation of 2,543 feet, 775 meters above sea level. The rolling hills around Bethlehem stretch out to the Judean desert, offering views of olive trees, vineyards, and small villages, end quote. So yes, Bethlehem has mountains and hills and so on. The words of our chorus say, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Now the song invites listeners to go tell it. So all week, as I was thinking about it, what is the it? So let's look in the Bible in Luke chapter 2, 8 to 20, for our familiar Christmas narrative with the shepherds and the angels. And let's look for it. Verse 8. Now in that same region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. The account of the shepherds and the angels is such a beautiful part of the Christmas narrative. Here we have nighttime rest for the sheep that spent the day grazing the hillsides. And the shepherds protected the sheep while the sheep slept, looking, watching out for any dangers and predators that could come and trouble the sheep. Suddenly, the shepherds themselves were troubled. They became alarmed. They were terrified. Something extraordinary, strange, was lighting up the sky, lighter than a full moon and brighter than any night sky they had seen. And here in the hillside of Judea, in the mountains surrounding Jerusalem, in the city of David, a bright light arrived in the person of the angel of the Lord, with an announcement, complete with the glory of God shining all around. Here, God breaks into ordinary people's lives with light. Brilliant light breaks in and engulfs them. It's terrifying and transformative. The light of God pierces the darkness. In Genesis, we have, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So the shepherds feared and trembled in the presence of the glorious angel and the accompanying heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God. And this is not just a local event, no. It has far-reaching cosmic implications for all people and all creation. This Savior was born to them, to the shepherds, and this was good news of great joy to them and good news of great joy to all the people. A Savior, the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior, had been born on this day. They went with haste and beheld what the angel and the chorus of angels had told them. So the shepherds went from the divine encounter in the brilliantly lit sky to what I imagine was a dimly lit encounter with Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. Here's the Holy One in the lowly, ordinary manger as a newborn baby. The longing for liberation now has been answered in the birth of this baby boy. And here's an invitation to us to be open to the unexpected and find the holy, the extraordinary in the ordinary. An invitation to recognize awe and wonder. And the shepherds went and told everyone they could find the good news, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. All who heard it. It. Our Christmas carol today, Go Tell It on the Mountain, has a history that dates back to the tradition of the genre of music of Negro spirituals. African-American spirituals. So when enslaved persons were here working on plantations from the early 1600s to the 1860s, there were songs that came about as plantation songs. These were slave songs that lived on and were passed down from generation to generation. And many of these enslaved persons became Christians here in the great awakenings, the revivals, and missionary encounters. But some of the slaves already knew Jesus in Africa before they even got here. And when the Bible stories were recanted, retold, and memorized, they were put to song, simple songs, songs that could be sung over and over and passed down generationally. And so they were mournful, they were joyful, they were prayerful songs. They express life and death, faith and hope, escape and survival. These songs help them cry out to God in prayers, groans, songs of freedom, suffering, and hope. Now, some of these songs were just passed down orally, and they weren't collected till later in the 1800s when collectors went out to collect these plantation songs. Now, we sang this song yesterday in our music and ministry at Meadowbrook with Tamara's Christmas songs. And there was notable resonance in the room when we sang this song. This is deep. This is a deep resonance. This song is popular worldwide and found in many hymn books. And how did that happen? Well, a little history. Our Christmas carol today was published as a cabin Christmas song early in the 1900s in the collections of Negro spirituals, along with other now famous spirituals, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen, Wade in the Water, Steal Away to Jesus, A Little Talk with Jesus, Were You There? G- Give me Jesus. Lord, I want to be a Christian into my heart. Spirituals were used in the Underground Railroad to help enslaved persons escape to the North to find their freedom. Some songs contained code words that pointed to freedom. The symbol in Follow the Drinking Gourd is the constellation of the Big Dipper. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot had clues about crossing the river to freedom. In 1866, shortly after the Civil War, the American Missionary Association established a school in Nashville, Tennessee, Fisk University. In an old army barracks in Nashville to educate formerly enslaved African Americans. And today, Fisk University is still there. It's a private, historically black liberal arts college listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Well, early in its establishment, the school was in financial trouble. They were only charging $12 a year, $1 a month, but that was a lot of money. And they were just in financial trouble. And one of the school leaders, who happened to be the treasurer and music director of the school, heard the students singing songs from the plantation. So an idea came to him to form a singing group. The Fisk Jubilee Singers was formed. And they were formed in 1871 during the Reconstruction period after the Civil War. They were named Jubilee because of Leviticus 25. And the year of Jubilee. The original group toured around the Underground Railroad path. They toured Canada, the United States, Britain, some European countries, promoting Christianity with the songs they sang and their travels to perform in many places and spaces. Now, before that, people had heard of blackface performers, but they hadn't seen African-American, real black people singing Christian songs. So this was a novelty. And they sang for Queen Victoria in Britain and President Ulysses S. Grant in Washington, D.C. They brought plantation songs to people who had never heard this music. So in the touring process, they broke racial barriers in the U.S. and abroad, and they raised funds for Fisk University, their beloved school, and built the first permanent building called Jubilee Hall on campus, and it's still there. The Fisk Jubilee Singers are known for preserving African-American spirituals, formerly known as slave songs. And then in 1899, John Wesley Work II, we have to say that because his son, John Wesley Work III, later became a director of this. He regathered students to continue the Fisk Jubilee Singers. And John Wesley Work II's first love was music, and he became the first African-American collector to collect the plantation songs known as the Negro Spirituals, and he published them in 1901 as the New Jubilee Songs as sung by the Fisk Jubilee Singers. From 1899 till 1923, he worked with his wife and the singers and a quartet and went around. And today, they're still in existence. You can look them up and listen to them. The Fisk Jubilee Singers are a traveling group of students who've won many awards and were inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 2017. So I thought their story of their traveling and taking the cabin songs of faith and hope around the world was worth telling. But we have to get back to our Christmas carol. And one early version had different words for the verses. This 1909 version says, "When I was a seeker, I sought both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and he showed me the way. He made me a watchman upon a city wall, and if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." The version that we have with the shepherds keeping watch over silent flocks by night is credited to John Wesley Work II. So that song remained unchanged until the 1960s, and the civil rights movement. And then it was combined with the song Go Down Moses, where Go Down Moses says, way down in Egypt's land, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. So by the time they combined Go Tell It on the Mountain with Go Down Moses, it became Go Tell It on the Mountain to Let My People Go. And that was an anthem in the 1960s in the civil rights movement. But the Christmas carol we'll sing today has verses about the shepherds and the chorus with Go Tell It on the Mountain, over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. So the question I'm asking is, what are we to tell? And the answer is it. Profound news to shout from the rooftops, the mountaintops, that God sent salvation on that day, in that time and space. Now, you remember when John the Baptist was in prison, his disciples came to Jesus to ask Jesus if he was the one or if they should look for another. And Jesus said, go tell John. Go tell John, Luke 7. Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. Good news. Go. Tell it on the mountain. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. It is good news. It is good news. What is your mountain that needs to move? Go tell it. God will still move mountains, obstacles, and barriers. God will restore all things. God is still active, moving mountains, setting captives free, healing the sick, the blind, the lame. God is still healing the brokenhearted. God will accomplish God's purposes in us and through us as we surrender our lives to God's will and God's ways. What mountains need to move in our lives? Go tell it on that mountain. What mountains hinder us from faithfully following Christ? Go tell it on that mountain. Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, has inaugurated his already but not yet kingdom here on earth, in your heart, in my heart. Charity Gale wrote, I speak Jesus in 2021. We sing it here in worship sometimes. Some of the lyrics are, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus, because your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Go tell it. What is your it? Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is love. What is your it to go tell? Go tell it. Tell it on the mountain. When I sang with a group called the Abundant Life Singers in high school, we sang a song called Pass It On. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Some of you will remember that song. Some lyrics say, I'll shout it from the mountaintops. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. That's my it this Christmas. The Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. We can go tell it on the mountain. Share the love. Share the good news. Pass it on. Thank you, Lord, that we have good news to share about your birth. We can go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. We can go tell it, Jesus Christ is born.